Hey, listen, I hope you have your Bible with you this morning. I want to invite you to join me in Hebrews chapter, anybody remember? 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue thinking this morning about faith steps, but not only about faith steps, we're going to be reminded today that our faith steps. See, our faith steps are a result of our faith steps. So learn this today. Our faith steps are our obedient steps to the Word of God. Think of it this way. First of all, God speaks to us. And aren't you glad that He does? You're glad, aren't you? Thank you. So God speaks to us. And then we acknowledge that He has spoken to us. We take Him at His word. And then we do what God says to do. And when we do what God says to do, we're exercising our faith. Do you see it? It's when our faith steps, God's favor falls. Now, that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. It's about God's favor falling upon those whose faith steps. Now, as we get closer to February 16th, that's our commitment Sunday for Generations Phase 2. That's the day we come together, and as a church family, we're going to make a three-year pledge and a commitment on that day, a pledge over and above our regular giving. And as we get closer to that day, I don't know about you, but the anticipation and the suspense is mounting. I mean, it is growing week by week. So on the 16th of February, that's the day that our faith steps. Now, folks, listen, God has given us a God-sized vision. In fact, it is a vision that cannot be successful without God. I mean, without Him, it's going to fail. You say, well, does that concern you? Absolutely not. In fact, that's what excites me most about Generations Phase 2. I mean, if all we're going to do is to go out here somewhere and build a little something, and we can find a few families in the church to raise up the money, and we put the money together, we build a little something out here, and then we build it, and then those that gave the money, the few families, stand out there with great satisfaction, look at it and go, my, haven't we done something good? Man, we've really done something good. But let me tell you something. That's not going to happen with Generation Phase 2. You know why? Because, frankly, it's too big for us to pull it off. You listening? It's way too big for us to pull it off. That's one reason tomorrow we're starting a 20-day prayer time as a church family. It's in the back of that Generations book. I hope you've got a copy of one. If not, you can get one on the way out of here. For the next 20 days, starting tomorrow, as a church family, we're going to be praying together, praying for God's will, praying for God's provision. Because we realize that this project of ours is way too big for us to pull it off. Listen, without God, this thing's going to fail. But with God, it can't fail. Amen? Listen, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Hey, put this down somewhere. The bigger the project, the greater glory God gets. The bigger the project, the greater glory God gets. In fact, God tells us in Isaiah 42:8, He says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. The Bible says, God tells us, the Lord is my name, I will not give my glory to another. That tells me He's not going to give any of it to you. He's not going to give any of it to me. He's not going to give any of it to First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Tennessee. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. That is, it's not going to be said, we did it, but rather, God did it. It's not going to be said, look what we did, but rather, look what God did. Not these folks at First Baptist Church, look what they pulled off, but rather Almighty God pulled this off. I am the Lord, That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Now, Abraham understood that. I mean, with all God promised Abraham, and with all God provided Abraham, it would have been easy to want some of God's glory. I mean, God blessed Abraham so much. And I think about Abraham's blessing, and we've already talked about it this morning some. My, how God has blessed us individually, as families, and yes, as a church family. And we're grateful for those blessings, are we not? Yes? But let me tell you what concerns me about God's blessings. What concerns me most is the possibility of all these blessings become cursed. It is possible to be cursed with blessings. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, here's how it happens. God blesses. He blesses us as a family, maybe individuals, as a church family. And we acknowledge God's blessing. And we say, God, thank you for your blessing in our life. Thank you for your blessing as a church. And we thank him for it, and we praise him for it. But the problem is this. Over time, if we're not careful, that blessing that God has given us is going to take the spot on the throne of our heart where God used to be. Listen, it is possible for these blessings to take the place that once God took. And what happens often is that we begin to love the blessing more than we love the blesser. Now, with that in mind, I want you to look with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And we're going to be thinking on this subject. When our blessings become a curse. When our blessings become a curse. The Bible says in verse 8 that by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as innumerable as the grains of sand along the seashore. Now, let's stop there for a moment. Now, you talk about having faith steps. Abraham had a God-pleasing, God-honoring faith. Listen, this man had a saving faith. He had a living faith. This is a man that obeyed the word of God regardless of the odds. I mean, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the challenges. Here's a man that obeyed the word of God. I love what verse 8 says. Look at it in verse 8. It says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now I can hear some of you women thinking, typical man. Here we go, not even knowing where we're going. Hey, but I'll remind you, God didn't open up, tell Abraham, hey, Abraham, I want you to get your smartphone out, and I want you to open that thing up to Google Maps. And I'm gonna put in the coordinates of where you're going. And then once I put it in, we're going to push start. And that little blue line, are you familiar with the blue line? That little blue line, Abraham, I want you to follow that little blue line until you reach your final destination. Oh, no. Listen, he didn't do that. He told Abraham to take the first step, and the rest of the steps would be revealed to him as time passed by. Wow. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine Abraham, after God told him that, coming into the house and say, Sarah, sit down. There's some things I need to talk to you about. Okay, Abraham, what's up? Listen, we're moving tomorrow. You need to go pack up everything. And Sarah goes, we're moving tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to move tomorrow. You need to make sure everything is packed up. And Sarah says, well, Abraham, where are we going? And Abraham says, well, I don't really know for sure where we're going. And Sarah says, well, how long is it going to take to get there? And Abraham says, well, you know, I'm not really sure how long it's going to take to get there. And she says, let me make sure I got this right. You want me to go in here and pack up, and we're going to load everything up, and we're leaving, we're moving tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. And when we leave in the morning, we don't know where we're going. Yeah, that's right. And we don't even know where we're going and how long it's going to take to get there. Yeah, that's pretty well it. Well, how in the world are we going to know when we get there? And Abraham says, well, honey, God's going to tell us. God's going to tell us when we get there. See, Abraham wasn't given all the details of the journey. You know why? Simply because God wanted him to trust him in every step of the way. It's like I was reading this past week in Luke, Jesus commissioning his 12 disciples, and he tells them in Luke 9:3, he says, take nothing for the road. No staff, no travel bag, no bread, no money, and don't even take an extra shirt. That's what Jesus said to his disciples as he's sending them out. Now, I draw those faith steps. I mean, those boys had a faith that stepped. But do you know what makes faith steps possible? Trust. Trust. See, I step in faith because I trust God. Now you say, well, how do I learn to trust God? Well, learn this, that it's the times of trouble that becomes times of trusting. It's during the times of trouble that become times of trusting. I wish there was an easier way, but it's during those setbacks. It's during those heartaches. It's during those difficult times that we learn to trust God. What happens is we have a difficult situation. God comes through and we trust him. And then a time goes by, we have another crisis, we go through it and we find God to be faithful again. And guess what? Our trust grows. And then we go through life a little longer, some crisis, some setback comes, and we wonder how in the world we're gonna get through this. And God sees us through it. What grows? Our trust. Our trust grows. See, I've learned over the years that I can trust God with my life. I can trust him with my family. I can trust him with my finances. I can trust him with my future. But to be honest, I've not always been there. I've not always trusted him like that. But it's something that I've had to learn during the trials of life. You know, it's really kind of funny, isn't it? We trust God with our eternity when we're saved. And yet we struggle trusting him on Monday with the issues that we face. And do you think Abraham just fully trusted God with one occasion, one setting, one moment? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think Abraham came through crisis after crisis. And then Abraham finally reached a point of saying, Lord, I fully trust you. And the same is true for us. Our trust continues to grow in God, with God, as we go through struggles and as God sees us through struggle after struggle. Amen? Now, in our time left from the life of Abraham and Sarah, I want us to consider these two stages of faith that we can learn from Abraham and Sarah this morning. Two stages of faith. And the reason we need to learn them is because if we don't get it, we run the risk of our blessings become a curse. that God can ultimately curse the blessings if we don't understand these two stages. You ready? You got something right on, right with? Here they are, stage number one. Stage one is that we receive God's blessing by faith. We receive God's blessings by faith. Now, frankly, that's the easy part. I mean, look at it over here in Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says that by faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring. Mark those words, by faith, received. By faith, received. See, we receive God's blessing by faith. It goes on to say, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Now, what did Sarah receive by faith? God's blessing. And what was God's blessing to Sarah? Well, according to the text, the blessing was to conceive offspring. That was the blessing. Now, remember what God promised Abraham over in Genesis 12, when he says, beginning in verse 1, he said, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. God promised Abraham, I will bless you. And then the last part of verse 3, it says, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. That's what God promised him. Now, they had been waiting for children. Abraham and Sarah, they had been wanting children. But the problem was, even though God had promised it, now they started having a few doubts. You say, well, why would they doubt? Well, 1 year passed after God promised, still no children. 2 years passed, 3 years passed, 5 years passed, 7 years passed, 9 years passed, 10 years passed. Think about this. God had promised them a child. 10 years have now passed, and still no children. And do you know what Abraham did? Listen, rather than standing on the promises of God, he took matters into his own hands. In fact, literally, he took Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, into his own hands. And at the age of 87, the Bible says in Genesis 16, verse 16, that Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And you know what? The world's been paying for it ever since. Listen, you go home tonight and you turn on that television and you read about bloodshed and conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. Listen to me. You could thank Abraham for that. Because Ishmael is the father of the Arab people. Hey, let me tell you how faithful God is to his promises. Even though Abraham opted for plan B, listen, God's promise never changed. His promise never changed. If you will, look in Genesis 17, if you got your Bible open to Genesis. These are some great verses. Genesis 17, beginning in verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. I will bless her indeed. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. Then he laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, 90-year-old woman, give birth? Well, he laughed all the way to the nursery. Genesis 21, verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. So the Bible says that he laughed, she laughed, they all laughed, and yet God kept his promise. It helps us better understand Hebrews 11:12, where the Bible says, therefore, from one man, in fact, one as good as dead. Now, what a description that is. Well, yeah, man, he's 100 years old. He's as good as dead. Came offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky and as innumerable as the grains of sand along the seashore. You see, Isaac was a blessing from God. He was the answer to God's promise. So put it down somewhere. Abraham and Sarah's blessing from God was their son Isaac. And that blessing from God came by faith. Now, so we're talking about these two stages of faith from Abraham and Sarah, right? Now, so the first stage is that we receive God's blessing by faith. Now, folks, that's the easy part. Now, if there's an easy part, that means there's a what? There's a hard part. So the second stage is the hard part. Now, the easy part, we receive God's blessing by faith. The hard part is, number two, is that we return God's faith or God's blessing by faith. We return God's blessings by faith. We read about that in Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 17, where the Bible says that by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it had been said, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. Now, that's looking back, and it's looking back to Genesis chapter 22. And if you're going from Hebrews to Genesis, listen again to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, folks, here's where we find the second stage of faith. Receiving God's blessings by faith is the easy part. But it's by that same faith we return God's blessing. And if you and I don't learn how to return God's blessings by faith, our blessings will become a curse. You say, are you saying that God curses the blessing that he gives us? I mean, can God, and does God bless, or curse rather, our blessings? That doesn't even make sense. Why in the world would God give us a blessing and then curse it? Is it possible? Well, I want you to listen to Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, and you tell me. God says, if you don't listen, and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name, says the Lord of armies, I will send a curse among you. Listen to this. And I will curse your blessings. I will curse your blessings. In fact, God says, I have already begun to curse them because you are not taking it to heart. God clearly says that it's possible for him to curse our blessings. See, we receive his blessings by faith. And then when we refuse to return those blessings by faith, here's what God says. God says, all right, you're not going to return the blessing. God says, all right, I gave you this blessing, and now you love the blessing more than you love me. Now the blessing is sitting at the throne of your heart where I once sat, where I deserve to be. And if you're going to love the blessing more than you love the one who gave the blessing, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to curse the blessing. I'm just going to curse it. He says, take your son, in verse 2 of Genesis 22, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom, listen to this, whom you love. Now, here's the problem. Before Isaac was born, Abraham's life revolved around God, just like the planets revolve around the sun. He petitioned God. God gave him a promise. God delivered in his promise. And Isaac was born. And now in Abraham's life, his life now revolved not around God, it revolved around Isaac. See, now Isaac is the apple of his eye, where God once was. And now Abraham loves the blessing more than he loves the blesser. He loves the gift more than it even loves the one who gave the gift. Let me ask you something. If you can trust God with the blessing, or for the blessing, if you can trust God for the blessing, then why can't you trust God with the blessing? Listen, if you can trust him for the blessing, then why can't you trust God with the blessing? You say, you know, Ernest, in a lot of ways, I'm much like Abraham. And God's blessed my life. He's blessed my family. And now, like Abraham, I love the blessings more than I love the one that gave me the blessings to start with. Man, what do I do? Hey, do what Abraham did. He did a couple of things. Number one, we've got to define our Isaac. We've got to define our Isaac. I mean, what is your Isaac? I mean, what is it that you love more than anything else, including God? See, Abraham loved Isaac more than anything else. He now loved the gift more than he loved the giver of the gift. He loved the blessing more than he loved the blesser. Hey, but what about you? What is it in your life today that God has blessed you with that you now love more than God? Maybe for you it's a job. Maybe it's an income. Maybe it's a paycheck. Hey, maybe for you it's a child. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe a grandchild. It may be your popularity. It may be your position. I mean, what is it? What is it that is in your life that God gave you that you now love more than God? You know, over the years, I've seen young couples faithful to church. Man, they're involved in missions and they're in a small group. They may sing in a choir. Or they're faithful in their giving. And yet they're really struggling financially. I've seen it so many times. And then something happens and God blesses them with a great paying job. You know, man, God has just overwhelmed them with financial blessing. And they thank God for that. They praise God for that. And then soon they go out and they buy them a boat and buy them a lake house. And they go out there just once. Hey, listen, it's just one weekend. It's one weekend a month that we're going to go out there to the lake and enjoy our new lake house and our boat, you know. And then they make friends down at the lake house. And now they're going twice a month. And then it's three times a month. And you know, before long, man, they've dropped out of church. They've dropped out of serving. They've dropped out of giving. They've dropped out of doing mission trips. Let me tell you something. It's easy for the blessing to take precedence over the one that blesses you. Now, I mean, what is it that you love more than anything else? Let me tell you something. That's your Isaac. And God says, when I look upon your life, I don't want to see another God. Hey, can I ask you something? Hasn't God blessed you? Amen. I mean, really, hasn't God blessed you? I mean, for you, it may be health. And God has blessed you with great health and Man, you're so grateful for that. Maybe it's wealth for you. Maybe God has given you some great wealth and revenue streams and great paying jobs and over the years, and you've accumulated a lot of wealth, and you say, man, God has blessed me with this. Or it may be a family. It may be this. It may be that. You fill in the blank of what all God has blessed you with. Do you know what Generations Phase 2 really is? Listen, it's an opportunity to return back to God the blessing. It's an opportunity to ensure that your blessings don't become a curse. You know, my wife Julie and I, we're talking through, praying through about what our commitment's going to be to Generations Phase 2 and our pledge over above our regular giving. And we're a few weeks out, and I got to tell you, I haven't reached the number yet. I'm struggling with it. I don't know about you. I think about a number, then God gives me another number, and I think, well, Lord, what about this number? And so he and I are kind of wrestling these days about that number, about what I need to invest in the kingdom's work here in through First Baptist Church. And what's exciting to me is that whatever the number is going to be, God's going to have to provide it. Now, some of our pledge is going to come from what I want to call generosity giving or gratitude giving. You say, well, what's gratitude giving? Well, it's giving out of what God's already given me. I mean, he's given us things. We have some money. And out of that money that he's given and I've saved, we're going to make that a part of our pledge. Gratitude giving. I mean, and we're glad to do it, but I want to tell you that that kind of giving is not all that exciting. I'm going to tell you. I mean, all it is moving money from there to there. Sounds really exciting, doesn't it? And, hey, and all it's going to take is one call to the bank. I'm going to call the bank, and I'm going to say, hey, I need to move some money from here to First Baptist Church. That's called gratitude giving. Now, it's one thing to pray, Lord, when you provide it, I'll pledge it. It's something else to pray, Lord, I will pledge it, believing you'll provide it. You hear the difference? That's faith giving. Now, gratitude giving is giving out of the resources I already have. But faith giving is giving what I don't have. Faith giving is trusting God for something I don't have. Now, I got to tell you, gratitude giving is good. But faith giving is not just good, it's exciting. Because I'm going to make a pledge of money I don't have. I've got some of it, I don't have all of it. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to pledge it, and I believe you're going to have to give it to me. Because if you don't give it to me, I won't have it to give. And the number came from you, and therefore I'm going to believe you to give it to me. Does that make sense to you? Yes? Listen, whenever you start talking about money, people get real still, real quiet. Gratitude giving, giving out of what I already have. Faith giving, giving what I don't have and believing God to give it. See, the way to return the blessing back to God, it begins by defining your Isaac. That blessing or blessings that you now love more than you love the one that gave it to you. But listen, not only define Isaac, but we've got to die to our Isaac. That's what Abraham did in Genesis 22. You see, God didn't want Isaac to die. You know that, don't you? He didn't want Isaac to die. He wanted Abraham to die to self. To self. He wanted, once again, to have the preeminence in Abraham's life that he had before Isaac came along. You say, you know, I've read that 100 times about Abraham, Isaac. I just can't believe God asked him to do it. Have you ever heard that before? I can't believe God asked Abraham to do it. You know what I don't believe? It's hard for me to believe that Abraham was willing to do it. I mean, really, and how did he do it? He did it by faith. Remember, our faith steps in response to the Word of God. Now, I'll give you one more thought, we're through. When we obey God, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the challenge, listen to me, God not only honors us, but he honors our children. You listening? That when we obey God's word, he not only honors us, he honors our children. You say, do you have a verse for that? I've got several. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn. This is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son. Now watch this, verse 17. I will bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. Is that not good? Your offspring, they're going to do this. I'm going to do this. My hand of favor will be upon your offspring, Abraham. Why? Because you have obeyed my command. Hey, you want to do your children and grandchildren a favor? Then obey God.